Hello, and thank you for listening to today's episode of JATcast, the official podcast of the Journal of Athletic Training. I'm your host, Luke Donovan. On today's podcast, I'll be summarizing a recent article published online in the Journal of Athletic Training with the goal of providing you with the best information from this article that you can apply to your clinical practice. After the summary, we will be joined by Dr. Eric Post to discuss his latest works regarding the influence of school and community socioeconomic status on access to athletic training services. All papers we will be discussing today can be found on the JAT website, natajournals.org. And please remember that all content from JAT is open access to all readers thanks to the funding from the National Athletic Trainers Association. Let's survey the scene. The article that I will summarize and the article Dr. Post will discuss both pertain to the importance and impact the presence of an athletic trainer within the scholastic setting can have on student-athlete health. And despite the positive influence of athletic trainers, these articles also shed light on potential roadblocks schools and communities commonly face when trying to grant student-athletes access to athletic training services. In recent years within the United States, over 50% of adolescents attending high school participate in scholastic sports. Unfortunately, within that population, more than 2 million sport-related injuries occur each year. Numerous studies have found that only 19 to 37% of secondary schools have access to an athletic trainer on a full-time basis. As the athletic training profession continues to advocate the necessity for access to athletic training services for all student athletes, it is equally important to 1. Assess the current practices of athletic trainers to ensure professionals are maximizing their training and being properly utilized within a medical team, and 2. Uncover barriers preventing student athletes access to athletic training services. Now that I provided a brief overview, let's discuss some specifics about the first article titled Athletic Trainers' Effect on Population Health, Improving Access to Quality of Care. This article is by Dr. Ellen Shanley and colleagues from Greenville Hospital System, Center for Effectiveness Research in Orthopedics, and Stedman Hawkins Clinics of the Carolinas. The authors wanted to optimize musculoskeletal health within this cohort of student athletes by implementing a quality improvement approach that continuously evaluated gaps within preventative and clinical care, while also uncovering opportunities to improve services provided at the system, school, and provider levels. Therefore, the primary purpose of this study, as stated by the authors, was to describe the creation, implementation, and early results of a quality improvement initiative aimed at advancing the health of scholastic athletes in Greenville County schools. Now let's discuss the methods used within the study. The initial step was the development of quality improvement process, which was completed by drawing from the author's experiences with monitoring and describing injury information in scholastic baseball and softball players across the county. This experience uncovered inconsistencies and incomplete information, which ultimately resulted in the creation of an inline data system centered around specific program goals through the collaboration of representatives from the Athletic Training Network, medical staff, school district, and the Center for Effectiveness Research in Orthopedics. The overarching goal for the sports medicine quality improvement process was to identify meaningful and actionable measures that would positively affect the health of the student athlete population. Stemming from the goal, the quality improvement effort established a singular process to first identify and manage the important and modifiable injuries within the district, second, establish the athletic trainer as the primary triage and case management personnel for all scholastic sport-related illness and injury episodes. Third, aggregate population data to inform decisions and program development. Fourth, reduce the incidence and effects of sport-related injuries within the district. And finally, fifth, provide sustainable health care services to student athletes. The following quality improvement steps were completed. First, documenting the magnitude of injuries treated by athletic trainers through retrospective review. Second, establishing the risk factors and injury mechanisms related to injuries within the high school scholastic population. Third, defining the steps used to intervene with at-risk athletes, monitor their healthcare services provided, and evaluate the post-intervention injury rate. Fourth, examining pre- and post-quality improvement process healthcare expenditures for each injury condition being studied. And finally, fifth, reporting the results of the quality improvement process to athletic trainers, athletic directors, coaches, parents, and athletes. The quality improvement process was implemented across 33 middle and high schools, consisting of more than 8,000 individual student athletes, using a team of healthcare professionals comprised of primary care sports medicine physicians, orthopedic surgeons, and other specialized care professionals, in addition to the site athletic trainer. An electronic medical record system was used for the documentation of athlete demographics, participation, exposures, injuries, and healthcare services provided. Costs of the services were also tracked. The results of the study are as follows. Over 6 academic years, almost 50,000 individual athletes participated in at least one sport in the Greenville County schools. The total number of injuries documented for these athletes over the 6-year period was approximately 23,000, which then equals a cumulative incident of 46 injuries per 100 individual athletes over the same 6-year period. When examining the effects of the quality improvement process, more athletes reported an injury requiring the detention of an athletic trainer in the 2011 to 2012 school year before the quality improvement process was instituted. During this year, the cumulative incidence of injuries was 58 injuries per 100 athletes. On the other hand, after 5 years of quality improvement being implemented during the 2016-2017 academic year, the cumulative incidence of injuries was 36 injuries per 100 athletes, meaning that there was a 22% absolute risk difference between academic years. From a financial perspective, healthcare costs also decreased by about 50% over the 6-year span. Overall, the authors found that a quality improvement process that fosters communication and problem solving across a team of representatives has the potential to benefit an entire scholastic population by reducing risks and effects of athletic-related injuries and by reducing healthcare costs. The authors do note that the most important result may have been the installation of the athletic trainer as the center figure in managing all aspects of student athletes' health, triage, care coordination, and resource use. Now I have the pleasure of talking with Dr. Eric Post from San Diego State University, who recently authored a paper titled, A School and Community Socioeconomic Status and Access to Athletic Trainer Services in Wisconsin Secondary Schools, which can be found at natajournals.org. Hi, Dr. Post, and welcome to JAT Cast.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm currently an assistant professor at San Diego State University. I teach within the athletic training education program here. It's part of the School on Exercise and Nutritional Sciences. Prior to this, I was working on my PhD at the University of Wisconsin in Madison under Dr. David Bell. I worked there clinically in their university health services. A little bit in college athletics for a year. Prior to that, I did my master's degree at Illinois State University, go Redbirds, working with the college baseball team there. And before that, I got my bachelor's degree in athletic training from the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Thank you. Can you provide a brief background and summary of your latest work on socioeconomic status and access to athletic training services?
Sure, yeah. So this was a project run by Dr. Tim McGuine at the University of Wisconsin. And so what we did is he surveyed high school athletic directors and athletic trainers from 402 Wisconsin high schools. He sent them an electronic survey, and they reported whether or not their school utilized an athletic trainer at all. And if they did, they also reported the number of hours per week that the athletic trainer was on site. And so, the major findings, what we did is we took their athletic trainer access, so the hours per week of athletic trainer services, and we also looked at some socioeconomic characteristics of the schools themselves in terms of the median household income within the county that the school was in, and also the percent of students at that school that were eligible for free or reduced lunch. And what we found was that the schools that did not have an athletic trainer available on site, they had more students eligible for free or reduced lunch, or were in counties with lower median household income. We also found that at the schools with fewer students eligible for free or reduced lunch, or the schools that were in counties with higher median household incomes, these schools had greater access to athletic trainer services And what we mean by that was that the athletic trainer was available for more hours per week, and also that the athletic trainer was responsible for fewer athletes per hour that they were at the school.
What made you to develop and execute this project?
This was one of those projects where I was just kind of lucky to be involved. It was kind of like, I've described it, my involvement kind of like Tony Kukoc on the 96 Bulls. I was just kind of happy to be there as it was all happening. It was a data set that Tim McGuine, you know, he's done this great work across the state of Wisconsin at Wisconsin high schools collecting all this data. And so for me, it was one of those things where I was helping in terms of pulling it all together with the analysis and, you know, writing this up and working on getting it published. And really it all came out of the work that Tim McGuine has done across the state of Wisconsin.
Can you describe a little bit more about the data collection process?
Yeah, so this was an electronic survey that was sent out, like I said, to the athletic directors and athletic trainers at high schools across the entire state. And so if they did not respond to the electronic version of the survey, the non-responders were sent a paper and pencil version of the survey. So we ended up with a response rate about 82%, which was great. We determined access to athletic trainer services. We used two different measures of access. One was just the number of hours that the athletic trainer was available on site. And then the second was the number of athletes per athletic trainer hour. So we divided the total number of athletes at that school by the hours per week that the athletic trainer reported being on site. And this helped to account for, you know, if you have a school with 2,000 athletes, you know, it's going to be difficult for a single athletic trainer to provide a high level of care to all of those athletes, especially if they're there for just, you know, 4 to 5 hours per week. And then in terms of school socioeconomic status, we determined that, like I said, using the percentage of students eligible for free or reduced lunch. And we also looked at the county median household income for the county that the school was in. And we got both all of that data from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction.
82% is quite the phenomenal return rate. What do you attribute some of those successes coming from?
I think in terms of the response rate, really a lot of that goes back to the work that Tim McGuine has been doing across the state. He's established these relationships with athletic trainers. If the listeners heard his interview last week with Dr. Coons, he has developed a number of projects, you know, where he does these wide-scale surveillance and surveys in, involving athletic trainers across the state. And so he has a lot of these existing relationships that he's built. And so I think when, you know, if you send out a survey blind to someone, they're going to be less likely to respond. But if it's coming from somebody you've worked with in the past, you're going to have, you know, a much higher likelihood of getting a good response rate.
Were there any key limitations that the listener should know about?
Yeah, so this project, it's only looking at high schools within Wisconsin. So, you know, we can't really draw too broad of conclusions outside of, you know, different states. You know, Wisconsin is unique in some ways. For instance, all of the athletic trainers in this study, none of them were contracted by the schools themselves. They were all employed from a local hospital, local healthcare provider, healthcare group. And so that might be something that's different from Wisconsin as, you know, compared to Arizona or, you know, Florida, California, wherever. Another limitation would be that, you know, we didn't look at the actual services that the athletic trainers provided at these high schools. You know, if you look at some of the work that, you know, say AT Still has done, or the Nation Database, Janet Simon, the work they've done, where they're looking at the actual services provided by athletic trainers. We didn't look at that. We were just looking at access in terms of, you know, hours per week and athletes per athletic trainer hour.
Has there been work similar to this in other regions of the United States?
You know, I don't know if anyone's looked at the socioeconomic component. I don't think so. That's unique to what we've done. There's been a lot of great work out of AT Still looking at athletic trainer services provided, you know, care provided, you know, the various networks that have been provided, whether it's the Rio database or Nation. There's a lot of groups that have looked at athletic training services in the high school. Some have looked at, you know, whether it's a public school versus a private school, which you can kind of infer certain socioeconomic characteristics maybe based on that. But I think we're the first to really directly look at these more established measures of socioeconomic status.
What do you think was the most important finding of this paper?
Yeah, I think, you know, overall, the big thing that we came away with is that, you know, for the first time, I think we are able to establish that there's these socioeconomic disparities in access to athletic trainer services for high school athletes, similar to, you know, socioeconomic disparities that have been observed in other healthcare settings, whether that's primary care, emergency care. Likewise, athletic training seems to have a similar socioeconomic disparities. And this is really concerning because if we look at some recent data, say, you know, the interview last week with Tim McGuine talking about how reduced access to athletic trainer services impacts the level of care and the management that athletes receive after having a concussion. And there's also been some great papers recently, one paper from Cynthia Labella's group looking at access to athletic trainer services and, you know, prevention of lower extremity injuries. So, you know, we know that there's these socioeconomic disparities now in terms of access to athletic trainer services, and that ties in well with the recent research that shows that when there's limited access to athletic trainers, there's going to be, you know, impaired care for various conditions as a result.
Were there any results that you found surprising?
You know, one thing that we found that's a little bit different from the previous research looking at percentage of schools that provide an athletic trainer, 95% of the schools that responded said that they provided athletic trainer services in some way. So, you know, other evidence has shown kind of upwards of, you know, anywhere from 40 to 70% of schools providing athletic trainer services in some of the larger, wider scale projects. So it seems like Wisconsin is doing a really good job in terms of providing some level of access. But, you know, the surprising thing that goes with that is that while 95% had an athletic trainer, the actual access to those services varied widely. So the average school in this study had an athletic trainer on site for 12 hours per week, but there was a huge range there, you know, from 1 to 2 hours per week, you know, to 40, 50 hours a week. So, you know, having access is different from having sufficient access to athletic trainer services.
What future projects do you think could be derived from the results of this current paper?
Well, I know, you know, Tim and his group, they're going to continue to look at, you know, the impact of athletic trainers on preventing certain injuries and the care of certain injuries. So, you know, he started with this large project looking at concussion, but I know he has an interest in lower extremity injury. And then in certain sports, you know, certain vulnerable populations, you know, youth female athletes, those type of things. For me, you know, my interest have lay more in sports specialization and club sports versus high school sports. So what I'm really interested in is looking at, you know, we have these established standards of care at the high school level, and we're doing a lot of work examining the type of care that's being provided at the high school level. But what's happening at the club level, where youth sports is becoming more and more popular, more kids are playing on the club teams, participating year round, going to lots of showcases, going to lots of events. And the data that we've collected so far seems to point to the fact that the club sports setting is still kind of the Wild West in terms of the care that's provided to athletes and in these settings.
What is the best paper that you've read lately? And this doesn't need to be related to this paper, but something related to athletic training would be preferred.
Yeah, so this paper actually was published in the Journal of Athletic Training. It's from Tamara McLeod and co-author at A.T. Still. It's called Emergency Preparedness of Secondary School Athletic Programs in Arizona. And what they found was that at high schools that had access to an athletic trainer, those high schools had better emergency preparedness across a variety of areas. So this is things like having an emergency action plan, having AEDs, you know, rehearsing your emergency action plan. And so it's just another, you know, piece of evidence pointing to the importance of having athletic trainers available at high schools to provide the best level of care for high school athletes.
Dr. Post, thank you for taking the time to answer my questions about your most recent work published in the Journal of Athletic Training.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Well, that is it for today's JAT Cast. Please remember to rate and subscribe to the podcast, which is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can find out more information about upcoming podcasts and other JAT events on our Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts at JAT_NATA. Thank you for listening, and keep a lookout for next month's JAT Cast.